it's just how you got to be.
Man, look at this room. It's already, man, we are going. Troop is here. Matt's here. Wade's here. All right. Slick. We got Jackal here already. Man, this place is popping.
Maniacs.
We're going to be down at least one host tonight. Maybe one guest at this point. I don't know. We're going to be down at least. Uh-oh, now I'm getting feedback. Who is that? I think Alex got something pressed over there.
My bad. Sorry. Fixed it.
What are you testing there? You got some audio for us?
No, I'm actually watching the live stream of us just to make sure it's actually up and it's nice. Causing a thing. Yeah. Nice. I mean, we're pros. We got this, technical professionals.
Yeah.
Matt says, I have questions for Matt Hill. Hey, when he gets here, if he gets here, don't waste him. But yeah, if he gets here, then yeah, throw him up there, and we'll include you guys as official host tonight.
Fire nice. This link.
There we go. I threw a fist up. I'm watching my favorite podcast while we're doing this. Hope you don't mind.
If anybody's out there, go ahead and blow up Matt Hill and his Twitter feed and everything else. Tell him, hey, Bitcoin Veterans is waiting on him.
That's 7 Eastern time.
Warming it up. Where's Matt from? I don't want to dox him. Never mind. That's a silly question. He lives in the
US. He's a security guy. I mean, he's a security minded person.
Yep. Cross off my first question.
Earth. Hey, everybody's. Never mind. Go on to the next one. Did you guys see the spaceship takeoff today?
I didn't. How'd it go? I heard there was one piece of it that was not having it.
Yeah, there was a fin on reentry that was it was burning up, but as far as I understand, it was a successful launch, and they had a soft water landing which was what they wanted to do. So yeah, pretty cool. One step closer to going to Mars, I guess. Is anybody going up there? Are you guys going? Am I going to see you there?
Earth is flat. It's a
no, I got you. Cut that.
The firmament.
Yeah.
So they, you want to talk about the firmament.
Let's do it. Why not?
I don't know if you guys saw that, that podcast between Joe Rogan and Terrence Howard.
Oh, it was wildly interesting.
Mind blowing. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend go check that out.
We can definitely talk about that for a minute.
I had to watch it 4 times. And I'm not sure I'm not sure I understand all of it. Pretty wild stuff, man.
I'd say that
those pressure zones he was describing outside the Goldilocks zone.
Yeah.
Sounds an awful lot like the firmament.
It also makes a lot of sense, you know, like suns just spitting out planets over time, over and over and over again. And like this Goldilocks zone that we're in, Earth won't be in for, you know, ever. And there Venus will enter it and things will change under pressure. And who knows, you know, what happens there. It's, I mean, and Mars, like the fact that he was talking about that, the planet, well, I should say the asteroid belt outside of Mars, like it's an exploded planet, like the people who live there messed it up that bad, I guess. Yeah. It really interesting types of, you know,
it's different. The first time you hear it, like this was my reaction. The first time I heard it, I was like, this dude is either crazy or he may be onto something.
He's got 94 patents.
And if he's on to 97 patents.
Yeah.
Right. And if he's on to something, then if he's right, then that means everything we know about physics is coming from the wrong perspective. So I guess we'll see.
And I mean, to his point, you know, he makes a lot of sense when he talks about, you know, energy, not straight waves. Obviously, if everything is built on energy to begin with, energy doesn't come in straight waves. Straight lines. It comes in waves. And so, you know, that idea is sound, you know, no pun intended, but yeah, that's a really interesting way to look at it. And then the fact that you've got the entire, you know, element structure based on that same curve, those same, you know, the same frequencies, like unbelievably interesting perspective to start analyzing it from now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do recommend people check it out. And I'm warning you ahead of time. You're probably going to have to watch it more than once.
Maybe if you have that kind of time.
And you don't have to. But.
So was Terrence Howard an actor before he was a patent guy, or was he an inventor, physicist, whatever he does now? I mean, did it happen at the same time? What was the whole background on that?
According to him, he was thinking about this kind of stuff ever since he was a little kid.
Just thinking about it.
Yeah, and that he went into acting to basically for his mother, essentially. And that was never really meant to be his path.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll find out, you know?
You know, they should have kept him as War Machine in the Avengers, I'm just saying.
They should have. I agree with that. That was one of the biggest mistakes they made, man.
Yeah.
Screw that up.
The other guy's okay, but
yeah. He's too smart to be one of those guys. You see all the Avengers come out in that stupid ass commercial saying, you know, they got to get famous people out here in front of cameras, you know, talking about how Donald Trump's basically going to destroy the world. And you're like, what country are you guys living in right fucking now, for God's sakes? Like,
yeah,
it's not going swimmingly. I don't know. You know, we're on the cusp of World War III. We've got, you know, an economy that's just tanking left and right, and so like, don't vote for Donald Trump because he's the destroyer of worlds. I'm like, what? You guys are on another planet.
Not yet, but this might be.
Wonder.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he probably saved himself. Not, you know, kind of interesting that a couple days after, what was he sitting down with Hannity or whoever the hell it was, when he was saying that he's going to release the 9/11, you know, or declassify that JFK and the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. And what, a day later, you start getting all these people coming out like fucking De Niro and the entire Avengers, you know, Marvel Disney squad and everybody else going like, please don't let this happen. And then McCabe from the FBI even came out and did an interview like, dude, he's going to arrest all of us if he gets elected. That's a huge deal, man. Like the FBI, you know, one of the former directors, right? Is he former director right now? McCabe, like saying, hey, everybody, listen up. If this guy wins, we're toast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it for a second.
It's pretty scary, you know, to think that, you know, a sitting president would use the judicial system against their adversaries. You know, it's crazy. Probably would never happen, really, but, you know,
yeah,
maybe it is. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, just think about, I mean, I don't want to get us tossed, but, you know, I mean, if that list came out, good gracious. You know, I mean, that's some, there's a lot of people that I think would be pretty unhappy with that. I think there's some would be like, not really surprised about that. I mean, like when all the stuff with Diddy came out, it's like, you know, that's what he's been singing about for a few decades. You know, I mean, it's kind of his thing.
I mean,
yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. That guy.
Yeah.
You're telling me that this guy that came up from nothing, who magically got successful, you know, because his music was kind of, I don't know, first rate or second rate or whatever it was back in the day. Like, you're telling me that guy doesn't have wild parties with underage girls and drugs and somebody's recording it? Like, duh. Come on.
Yeah. And I mean, the funny thing is, and we've seen it before, but, you know, then, you know, everybody around says, I'm shocked. How could he do such a thing? And these people that have known him since he was a teenager, they're like, no, I'm blown away. He always seemed like such a nice, wholesome dude. Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, how it works. Probably what they say about when they found out about Epstein Island too, I guess. But
I mean, you got to wonder, right? Like, why hasn't anybody been, I'm not trying to get us kicked off of YouTube, but if we haven't been kicked off yet, I mean, might as well keep swinging at it.
Tonight's the night, man. We've only got 50 people out there right now.
You gotta wonder why hasn't anybody on that Epstein's client list been arrested?
Ooh, dominoes, my man. Dominoes. And here's the other thing is, if they're not being arrested, it's because there's a certain sect of supremacists out there, right? Can I say that? Can I say there's a certain sect of supremacists out there that happen to be rich and of a certain faith, I guess. Well, let's not even call it that. Let's just say they don't want people to even put that together, that that whole thing was a honeypot run by a certain group of individuals.
Okay, so now this is where it starts to get interesting to me, because he said, Epstein's client list, he said 9/11, and he said JFK. Mm-hmm. So what do those three things potentially have in common?
Well, I mean, can we say Mossad? I mean, are we still on?
Or is it the same three-letter agency from the United States of America?
Yeah, is that
a common factor?
Yeah.
CIA. Imagine. Well, see, you said it. Why'd you do that? Okay. Yeah. So just imagine.
Can't say that. What about Jesus? Can we say Jesus?
All right. Just imagine.
You're going too far, man. Sorry.
Imagine if it turns out that 9/11 really was inside, and then the proof came out. What would be how would the American public react to that?
I can tell you, I've reacted to it, and seeing what was it, Operation Gelatin? Have you guys gone down that rabbit hole? Jeez, no. Look it up, man. Operation Gelatin, and then the dancing people that were across the river doing a film or documentary. Well, this was happening, dancing, laughing, high-fiving. It's all on video. Like, it's all out there.
Is this something I'm going to regret looking up?
No, absolutely not. It's going to be one of those things that it should piss you off, because I'm going to tell you right now, like, I signed up, I don't know, a few days later after 9/11. And that was all predicated on the idea that we were going to go kick some ass of some people that did this to us. And I'm going to tell you right now, we got played hard by those same people who do the disruption. And that's the thing, is all these intelligence, the Five Eyes is the organization. They just call themselves different things in different places, right? So they are the three-letter agencies here in the U.S. They are those guys over in Israel. They are those guys in the U.K. and Australia. They are the same people.
So you're saying you think it's the same group, same organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Different names in different countries.
Yeah, because that's what they do. I've never
heard that before.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. They sit there and they say, hey, you know, here's the illusion of we're not what we obviously are. And if you look at what the Five Eyes are, they're an intelligence gathering apparatus and a coup manufacturer. That's what those guys do. They do this all the time in every country where there's some sort of strategic resources.
You know, and the interesting thing is, their existence and success is dependent upon the existence and success of a fiat monetary system. Otherwise, they can't function the way that they want to function. If that gives you an idea of some of the forces that are behind the attacks on Bitcoin and those that do not want to see it do what it is doing right now, those things are connected. You know, when we start getting into, you know, Whitney Webb territory and how, you know, certain, you know, three-letter agencies are, you know, basically their function is blackmail to leverage and influence the decisions and actions of other people and entities. And it does all tie back into the
So speaking of Whitney Webb, she wrote this book called One Nation Under Blackmail, right? I haven't read the whole thing yet, but have you guys read it? Does she talk about a blackmail kind of engine?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You look who runs like Pornhub and all the other like giant sites like that too, right? They're all run by the same people or companies, right? Like you've got a couple of companies that run all of those things. And what do you think they do with that information? I'm going to tell you right now, if you're looking at porn out there, boy, I'm going to tell you they got your kink. And you know, like you've got certain people who have kinks that are going to go out there and think that they're, you know, smart enough not to be tracked by these guys. They're going to be tracked. Then they're going to be elevated into positions where they can actually get the evidence of them doing something in real life because they don't have the intestinal fortitude to control themselves. And then you elevate them and you say, hey, you're going to do what we tell you to do. You're going to be fabulously wealthy. And that's going to what's your click in society? How hard can you sell for us?
Yeah. You better believe that so many people have blackmail packets sitting there waiting for them. There's a portfolio that is built on people. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I have firsthand seen there's a colleague in law enforcement that I toured a facility and saw pictures of people that were taken from their laptop computers who were watching. And it's like pictures, images captured of these people who had dialed up or, you know, accessed certain types of adult content on the internet that, you know, either was, you know, borderline illegal ish, you know, whether it, you know, had, you know, kids or whatever, but anything that was questionable and was tagged a certain way, but they planted certain videos within the libraries that could even be, you know, close to questionable. And then they're accessing people's cameras and taking pictures of them with a log of the content that they're accessing. So folks that are out there listening, just know, I know that many of us do, but there are certain things that you do online that put up flags that justify the on switch for your camera when you don't know that it's on. And there are just be aware of that during your online activities.
All right.
It's crazy, man.
Gandalf is in here laying it down.
I love this kind of people have to hear this kind of stuff. And the fact that like even Alex hasn't heard about like, you know, Operation Gelatin, man, between that and you really kind of look at where all this spawns from, right? Like you look back into history. Have you guys started digging on all this kind of stuff? Like
a little bit.
The entire land bridge between China and Europe, man, that area right there was an area that, you know, this kind of spawns from. And somebody was talking about, you know, the difference between the Torah and the Talmud. Right. Like Talmud, you know, is not what the Hebrews were doing. Right. That's Torah stuff. Right. I guess. And then you've got the Talmud, which is wildly different. And when you've got, you know, a group through history that hasn't done real well, where they've gotten kicked out of country after country after country after country. And now, you know, they've kind of figured out a different way to do some of the things that they've always done. And if you look at people as, you know, let's just call, I'm going to use their word. They call us goy or goyim for plural. If you look at other human beings as lesser than, as a way of life, as what you're teaching somebody else, you start to look at the situation in the Middle East and you're like, how does anybody even come close to defend like what's going on there? I mean, there are guys that are in huge, you know, like the top positions within the IDF and within their cabinet over there talking about how they're going to basically eradicate everybody. And they're going to bulldoze the land and they're going to take it and they're going to do whatever the hell they want with it. Huh. Crazy.
Yeah,
go ahead, Gabe.
I was just going to say, there's not a lot of wholesome motivation going on out there on either side. I mean, when you have that much entrenched generational memory and you know, universally shared trauma simultaneously, it's an ugly situation. And it's just real hard, if possible at all, to identify good guys, bad guys, so forth and so on. Yeah. But it's not good. And we know, I mean, in basic training, the same thing happens with us in the U.S. military. You know, we don't call, you know, it's just the enemy. Okay. You just refer to them as the enemy. It's not even, you know, those humans that live over there that we're in this conflict with. It's just like the enemy. What do you do to the enemy? You kill the enemy. And that's what you do. And that's how you roll with it. And so, I mean, language matters, words matter. And, you know, when you have generations of people that are brought up like that from birth, and that's just how they do it. It's very effective. It's very effective. And they do not see each other as humans. Yeah. It's interesting because psychologically it's very effective. And it's something that we even see now, you know, outside of the military, especially in our country, you know, the dehumanization of political adversaries. You know, and that's just among the American population itself. You know, I mean, you have, you know, two sides, you got basically a half of the country here and the other half of the country here that, you know, one half thinks that, you know, the other half is, you know, the are extremist lunatics that are, you know, supremacists and that are brainwashed by this, you know, egomaniacal, you know, mastermind that is somehow taking over the willpower of normal human beings, which, you know, is ridiculous. And then the other half thinks that the, you know, the others are, you know, controlled by, you know, China and communism and whatever else is going on. But, you know, when you get down to the bottom of it, I mean, it's all bullshit and it's meant to divide us. Yeah. But the danger comes in when people truly actually start to believe those things and then take those sides. And there's, you know, you do see a dehumanization of it. And when half the population can think that the other half of the population is less than, we got problems. But thank God for Bitcoin, because that's where we're starting to see the transformation take place. It's going to be an amazing couple of years. I mean, I know that sounded kind of scary or what I was just talking about, but I truly am feeling optimistic about things, especially just knowing that this year is going to be pivotal. And I believe that so many eyes are going to just be forced wide open. And the rejection of reality is going to be so hard for people to maintain. I just think that people are going to incrementally continue to wake up at a faster rate. So that's pretty exciting. Somebody says they take sides. That's okay.
Higher calling okay. Says, I take sides. Fuck that. He also said, one side is evil and they killed Christ. So we used to have this team leader. He was Jewish. We just used to give that guy hell all the time, man, like in the best way possible. It was all give and take. And, you know, he gave it as good as we gave it. And yeah, but it was one of those things where, you know, around Christmas time and all that kind of stuff, like, you know, like he killed Kenny. No, they killed Christ was kind of what was going around the platoon at the time. It was pretty good. Any thoughts on how coincidental all this is? You had the Queen die not long ago. Then you had Lord Rothschild died not long ago. And all of a sudden, you know, all hell is, you know, breaking loose with the banks. All hell is breaking loose, obviously, in that same region of Europe and then down in Israel as well. Any thoughts on coincidental timing of all of this, or is this?
I don't know. I don't necessarily attribute any connections to those events. I just, I do think, you know, the fourth turning thing, I think there's probably something to that. Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that book, but essentially the premise is there's an 80 year cycle, and every 80 years or so things get kind of squirrely. And I think that's where we are now. That book projected that, you know, starting right around just a couple of years ago, it would start to get squirrely and it would continue to be squirrely for a handful of years. And that's exactly kind of what's happening right now. So, and I mean, it's not just that book. I mean, really, you go back and look at the Bible. I mean, these are patterns that have occurred ever since we have really recorded history in writing, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I guess it's just that time again.
It is true. And I think that there's some level of, I guess, shared consciousness that happens amongst a group of people. You know, I mean, we see it happen down at the level of spores and fungi. You know, they have these I don't know if you want to call it a shared consciousness. Some people would, but you know, we work in, like, there's a hive mind thing that happens with people. Yeah. And these experiences, these shared experiences, you know, they just, I agree with you. I think that they push us through these cycles. Maybe not push us, but it's like they create waves and we travel on these waves through these cycles. And yeah, I read the book back in, I think 98 or 99, and it still is true now, as it was back then. And it's one of those books. If anybody that's listening hasn't read The Fourth Turning, check it out. I know the name of it pops up in conversations here and there, but it's, I mean, next to The Sovereign Individual, you know, from that time frame, I would say that that's one of the most important books that's out there, and recommend everybody read it, because we are at that point in that cycle of, you know, where things are probably going to get pretty tough. And there's going to be the need to, you know, to endure challenges. I don't want to say fight battles, because that kind of thing gets you thrown off the internet, but But I just said it. So there's going to be, there's going to be a need to fight those battles. And of course, obviously we all prefer for those to, for all of all things to be nonviolent as much as realistically possible.
But I'm rocking my Simply Bitcoin Peaceful Revolution shirt tonight.
I dig it, man.
Nice. That's what Bitcoin is, peaceful.
Mm-hmm. It does the fighting for us. Yep. But I don't know about the coincidental stuff, man. I think that things happen and there are themes that do exist. And those themes are, you know, if we pay attention to them too closely, we might see patterns that don't exist. But I do think that if we do look at just the right intensity with the right telescopic lens, then we'll see the pattern as much as we need to see it to be informed and to move forward, well informed. So I think that the biggest focus right now that many of us should have is preparing the next generation for what's to come. Because they are the ones who are going to be carrying the burdens of many of these challenges, I think. And it's their energy and it's their courage that's really gonna push us over the top of that.
You guys both have older kids. Mine are, you know, a good bit younger than Alex's. I know a little bit younger than yours, Gabe. How do you guys feel with older kids out there in the environment that are in? You know, your concerns about them, your hopes, your aspirations, like what do you think about them on a daily basis in the world they're in right now, or what they're going to be going into shortly as adults?
Alex,
Gabe,
all right. So, you know, I mean I don't like it. I wish that my kids can live in a peaceful time. I wish that they could, you know, enjoy the satisfaction of just, you know, a life without those types of challenges. At the same time, I feel like in a way that just, you know, our generational influences on them that have been built on the generational influences before us in those cycles in that fourth turning, in many ways have positioned their minds to endure it effectively and successfully. Some people are very intentional about it. We had Ella Huff on here before, and I think I saw Lisa is watching tonight. But you know, she's a prime example of somebody who has been prepared for these challenges that are coming up. As far as my own kids go, I don't like it. I mean, before they were born, I read The Fourth Turning, and these are things that I have worked to prepare them for. You know, mentally more than anything. Just to be aware of themes and patterns that are going on in the world. I don't like it. I wish it didn't have to be, but I do feel like when you know that a certain people have been set aside for a noble purpose, I think it makes it more tolerable, as a parent. Because this is not something like, okay, Vietnam is going on and they're going to draft your kid and send him over to fight this pointless freaking conflict and they're going to die and it's horrible and nobody wins except for, you know, the terrible people. This is something that we know is necessary. These times that we're living in, these battles that are happening now and that are going to be happening in the future, we know that they're relevant and that they're important and that they're necessary. And if it's our children that were saved for that, I believe it's our role to support them in a way that is going to give them the greatest likelihood of success.
Sounds like you believe, Gabe, that it's going all the big challenges are going to come in their generation. You think that's right?
Yeah, I believe that.
Why do you think that?
Part of something that I read in The Fourth Turning, and they like break down everything that goes into generational roles, on a larger cultural scale. And the Generation X, which I happen to be a part of, tends to fall into that window of the generation that is going to serve as the mentors and as the foundations of wisdom that is going to support and provide, you know, strategic guidance, provide some of that that more experienced and tempered advice to that next generation, to the generation of our children, which will then benefit from that experiential wisdom to go forth and to serve their missions successfully. So yeah, that's a big part of it. And then, you know, based on that foundation, and then seeing how everything else in that book tends to be playing out, and, you know, that being reaffirming then to me for that theory. Yeah, that's the pattern that I see emerging. And so that's what I'm looking at.
Got you. So for my part, I would like my kids to know peace. I would like them to know freedom. I grew up with freedom. And even though the United States has been, I guess, largely at war for the last probably, I don't know,
200 years and some change.
Have we ever stopped?
Forever.
But yeah, continual war since the central bank, for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, like a very small percentage of our population goes off to war. I mean, granted, when you have a country that's perpetually at war, and when you have as large a military as the United States does, it turns out to be a substantial portion over time. I think, Gabe, you said at one point or another, we have something like 16 and a half million veterans in this country who've been through the military. Many of them have been deployed overseas. Not all of them have seen combat, but many have. Doesn't mean I've always wanted my kids to grow up in a world where they didn't have to do that, where they didn't have to fight, where they had peace, and where they had freedom. That's a big, big deal to me. So whether it comes in our time or their time, I think we're going to see significant changes while we're alive still yet. I just feel like it seems to me that everything's accelerating. You can look at all kinds of different graphs of different types of information, measuring everything from money to supply to debt to all kinds of different parameters. And it just seems like so many things are in a pattern of acceleration right now. Technology, for example, how fast it's accelerating, how fast things are changing. And it seems to be on a curve that's kind of going like this right now, which means, you know, if it keeps up on this trajectory, it will continue to accelerate faster. So I don't know, man. It just definitely feels like we're in for some big changes. I don't know how much longer the current structure of human civilization will continue. By that, I mean, I'm not hoping for any kind of, you know, life-altering events to happen. But I mean, you got to look at like the role of the city-state right now, and you got to wonder, like, does this make sense? You know, I saw a really interesting tweet earlier today, and paraphrasing it, it basically said that the forefathers of America certainly didn't envision a country where we're giving almost half of our income to the federal government to be spent on things that we mostly probably don't agree with.
Yeah.
Right. That's a wild situation if you think about it. Like, how far have we fallen from the founding of the country? Like,
well, can you imagine if you literally took the forefathers and stuck them in America today and showed them what the American government was? They would, most of them would shit themselves. Then they'd have a heart attack and then be like, don't even bother with, you know, seceding from the king. Why would we pay all this blood and treasure just to get back to this point where now they have their tentacles in absolutely everything that you're doing? Your rights are now licensed, their permissions. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Or would they immediately, you know, cause a new revolution? Like, you know, if they thought, they'd be like, yo, boys, we got work to do.
let's try this again.
The way Shane Gillis describes George Washington with his slave teeth and what else did he have? Mercury or something like in there. He's like, you know why we won? Because George Washington was a giant maniac who was crazy from all the damn mercury poisoning that he had running through the woods. That's who we need again. Who's gonna follow that guy? That'd be pretty wild. Oh man.
Yeah. I will count.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I will add that, the timeline, it's definitely open to interpretation, I think. But I think that that's one of the reasons why it's important for us to maintain our level of fitness. And I know that a lot of us do that. A lot of veterans, we do that. And a lot of Bitcoiners are good eaters too. I mean, they're healthy people and they're eating good food, but it's important for us to maintain a certain level of physical fitness, because if something happens, when things go down, we got to be there. We got to be involved in it. And if you can't get up and walk to your damn mailbox without running out of breath, you got some work to do. Because if there's an emergency, and I'm not saying you got to like load up, vests and, carry heavy things that are made out of metal that, have bubbles coming out of them at high rates of speed. But the thing is, you might have to carry somebody that you love that's hurt somewhere, and you don't want to find out at that moment in time that you can't do it. So I don't care if you're freaking, 40 something, 60 something, 70 something, 80 something, get up and do something, because you don't want that moment to come and then you not be able to freaking do it, man. So, whether it's us that's doing the heavy lifting or whether it's our kids doing the heavy lifting, stay ready, stay active. Don't be a fat, lazy person. Please, I love you, but don't.
It's funny you say that. And Tora Pottle, hey, could you guys talk about nutrition and throwing up subjects here for us? And a lot of you guys know that Alex and I work together. And he called me earlier in the day, and he goes, "You sound out of breath." I was just like, "Yeah, man, I'm just sitting here sweating." I didn't realize maybe I was just breathing. I tend to sigh a little bit here and there and like try to like do rhythmic breathing throughout the day anyway, and maybe I've just gotten so good at it like I sound like I'm out of breath. But that, man, I was cracking up earlier when you said that. But yeah, I think you're right, Gabe. I think nutrition and physical activity, boy. A couple years ago, for all you guys that don't know, I went through some pretty traumatic stuff with my back. Had a couple back surgeries, almost died in the hospital because of a back infection. And getting back from that to the point where I am now, man, I know a lot of you guys hurt out there. I know a lot of it is, pain and suffering that, the state, made you do stupid things that you signed up for once upon a time, believing in the United States. But man, you can overcome a lot of that kind of stuff. Diet alone. I mean, if you don't know how to eat, man, maybe this is a good time to kind of talk about our sponsor, Alex. Your diet is very important. I'll tell you, for me, like when I started getting rid of all the carbs and the seed oils, and even vegetables, right? Like my body started to change for the better. I had some kids, and I got up to about 250 pounds and I was big. I mean, big. And I saw a picture one day and I was like, dude, you gotta change your life. You're gonna leave these kids without a dad. And so started eating a lot better. And a lot of that was beef, just straight up beef. I heard about the carnivore diet, man. Started like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I won't go full carnivore. Maybe I'll do a little more paleo. And I got to tell you, within 3 months, man, I dropped a ton of weight. That and just a little bit of walking. You go out, walk 3-4 miles a day, and you can absolutely change the way you look. It'll change the way you feel about yourself. You'll move more. And I'll tell you what, that movement is absolutely key to enjoying your life and keep you a lot less in a lot less pain, for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. I mean, everybody doesn't have to go out there doing CrossFit and things like that. It's just moderation really goes a long, long. It's just like, dollar cost averaging, stack a little bit here and there. You just keep on moving and, things will keep working for you better anyway.
Not everybody can be Jordan Gambrell.
No, good Lord, man. That dude crushed it on Memorial Day.
Yeah, you could try.
Yeah. I don't know how many people try. You can try.
You give him a lot of credit, man. 17 miles with a 30-pound plus vest. That's
17 and a half over 6 hours of grinding nonstop, 300 and something obstacles. That's like, wow.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's on our side.
Nutrition. Yeah, me too, right? Like I've said this before. Some of you guys have heard me say this. Like these are not the kind of dudes you want plotting in the forest, plotting against you. You want them on your team. Anyway, yeah, meat. Meat's good. Meat's fantastic. Our sponsor is KC Cattle Company. They're awesome. KC Cattle is a company that understands power decentralization going through direct from producer to consumer. They get Bitcoin. They're on Noster and Twitter. DM them there. Tell them you heard about KCC on this pod. Say hi. Get to know them. Portion of their sales goes towards helping vets and this pod specifically. For those of you who are in our chat groups, ask about it. We've got a special discount code to buy beef from KCC. Contact us for details. Finally, when you check out, add Bitcoin Vets in the notes field at checkout, and they will give you a free gift of the world's best tasting Wagyu hot dogs. KCCattleCompany.com.
Nice. Veteran owned too. Yeah.
Pat is the owner. He used to be a Green Beret, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I guess the other part of their operation is a couple of Navy SEALs as well. So yeah, get out there, support those guys. I got to tell you, from everything that we've had, and we have been devouring the half cow that we got, man. Haven't had anything bad yet. I can say most of it has been some of the best quality that I've ever had. So, you know, definitely worth the sats. If you're going to pay him in Bitcoin, great way to spend Bitcoin without taking capital gains. That's for damn sure.
Hell yeah, man. They're making great things happen. Their social media channels crack me up too, man. They've got some great content out there. If you're not following them, get out there and follow them. They're on the Insta. I think the kids call it the Insta. I don't know. Maybe they call it the Gram. One or the other.
Out on the Gram? What kind of drugs are they doing? Oh.
Get your grams of meat. But yeah, they've got some cool stuff going on, man. They got a good team over there. You can tell that they enjoy what they do. And I think that really matters. That says a lot, you know, because when they've got the culture right, that means they got the right people there. When they got the right people there, that means that they're doing their jobs well. They're handling all of their product properly. They're shipping things on time. They're doing it right. So I just think it's a cool company, man. They're doing good things.
All right. Jackal asks, with these difficult times, could the U.S. see a Caesar type head of state? Who wants to take that one? Who wants to feel the Caesar head of state, the strong man that you need, like Germany in the 1920s and 30s?
I think you should do it, Shane. I'm just saying, man.
This is a strong man and head of state, man. I don't want that job. I don't know what comedian. Maybe it was Joe Rogan one day on his stand up. He's like, you realize how ridiculous the idea of a president is? No man can handle this job of running an entire country. It's ridiculous. I actually think I made a tweet about this earlier. I said something about the United States was better before presidents and Congress and the Senate, right? Like it was when it was 13 states. And all right, I know people are like, what about Black America? You're right. Listen, not for everybody. It was better for some people, but we can improve upon that. We can go back to being separated states, but still have equal rights for everybody. And I think that'd probably be the best way to do it. But yeah, no, I think, boy, I'll tell you what, I heard some, you know, interesting ideas, and I've always thought that Donald Trump is probably just part of the whole thing. We have three presidential candidates, and all of them have sworn allegiance to the same government, not in America, so to speak, if you will, without getting us kicked off the air. And, you know, the fact that they are trying to galvanize at this point, and I really feel like they've got to know that anything that they do to the man is going to galvanize his base. I mean, if you're a smart thinking person, and let's give them credit, they're not dummies. You know, if you're trying to put together the guy that's going to be the strong man, how he came to power, you know, absolutely deride him, deride his base, make fun of them, run story after story that's a lie, convict or, you know, harass him with, you know, case after case after case, drain his money, make him look like a martyr, create a martyr. And, you know, minus him dying, you've taken a billionaire, you've made him poorer over time. He's playing this perfect character to walk into this role at this point. Now, I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he isn't. But, you know, if you're a billionaire and you've played your part to the tune of billions and billions of dollars, I don't think you get to be a billionaire without knowing some people in this space, not to mention who you used to hang out with on a certain island down in the Caribbean, right? Like, all of these things are questioned. I'm not saying one way or another, you know, on any of this stuff, but it's not outside the question of reality. And so let's just say, you know, November comes along. There's no way Biden beats him. And I don't think RFK is going to. And now that you got Chase Oliver in the race from the
Do you think Biden's even going to be running?
After he shit his pants and at D-Day
today? Questionable. Like, some people are saying that's what happened. I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
But there was, I mean, they are dragging him pretty hard. And there was a Wall Street Journal article the other day that was dragging him. So now you have mainstream media establishments that are starting to drag him.
Yeah.
The FBI just admitted that the Hunter Biden laptop is real. Shocker. Everybody kind of knew it was real, but they admitted it. So they're making a big deal out of that.
Maybe they know he's short on time now. They're like, hey, we've absolutely gotten to the point where we can't medicate him anymore without him becoming comatose, and time is short. Who knows?
He can't win a debate.
Yeah, that's the other part that blew my mind, where he agreed to do debates. It's like,
it won't happen.
Yeah. If you know your time's short and you die before that and you put up the good fight, you know, that's, or you at least you're talking tough, man. He was going to come in and he was going to smack down. And the whole thing, I guess, back to, you know, the point. So of
is, nothing. I just, go ahead, Shane. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think Jackal's point, are we to a point where somebody could call in the military and act as, you know, Caesar did with Rome? And yeah, I think we are. I think we're to that point where there's enough people that would buy this shit that would give this guy so much power to clean house, and then it wouldn't stop. And that's a scary situation.
The potential is there, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, because people are hardcore enough about it. And especially when you attack freedom the way that has been done with him. And I mean, you know, disclaimer, I guess, you know, I got to throw it out there. I mean, I'm not a big supporter of him. It is what it is. It's like you said, I mean, they're different sides of the same damn operation, and they're all freaking connected. But people feel like it's an attack on their own individual freedoms, and he has become the proxy. He's become the representative for every person that feels downtrodden and taken advantage of, which is like most of the damn country right now, even as supporters around the planet. But, you know, and it's that whole thought that they keep throwing out there, and his campaign keeps saying, you know, they're not attacking me, they're attacking you. I'm just in the way. And that's been effective, and it has stuck in people's minds. And so it has turned him into a martyr. A living martyr, which is the most dangerous kind. And the fact is that when you live in a nation that was founded in rebellion, and you have someone who can position themselves as, you know, the leader of the existing rebellion against the establishment and the current system, man, that's a pretty good place for him to be. And it does put him in a position of power. And what happens is, when people that have that much energy behind them finally do end up in power, and for him it would be again, which would make it even doubly victorious and triumphant, man, people are going to have a hard time saying no to anything that he wants to do. And then, you know, things can get real dangerous. I'm not saying it would happen. Again, the way that people can be so fickle right now, it wouldn't surprise me if people just flipped on him, like a quarter. I mean, it could go bad for him very quickly, but we'll see. And I'm sorry, yeah, I was laughing about there. I think I've seen too many memes in my life. I mean, I'm sure some people that here can relate that I just kind of start to think in memes. And we were talking about the geriatric that's running things right now, the pants pooper. I swear, D-Day, he changed it, man. So now it's Depends Day. That's what it is, man. Because I swear he filled him, man. He dropped a bomb on stage. But he's a liability. His family is a liability. He can't perform on the stage in a debate, and they know it. And I just pictured in my mind, I really have to be delicate the way that I say this, but do you know the meme where the guy has a dog? and the guy is saying something really stupid to somebody on the phone and the dog hears him. And then later on, you see the guy in bed and the dog is like standing over the bed, holding something in his hands over the person's face. That's kind of what I saw in my mind. You can imagine who's laying in the bed and who the dog is that's holding the thing in their hands over the person's face.
Was that commercial sponsored by MyPillow?
Yes. Right. Oh man, that's perfect. Yeah, exactly. Our today's sponsor is MyPillow. Mike Lindell, you owe us some stuff here, so get on the mission.
Anybody that knows that guy, put it out there, clip it.
Tag him, bring him on in.
Couple of good questions coming in from Torup. He's asking you, are y'all doing a beefsteak in Nashville? We're not doing a beefsteak. We are doing a meetup that would be on the evening of the 26th. I think it's all sold out.
Might be sold out. I'm actually, yeah, we're sold out.
If not, it's real. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe come anyway, though. But who knows? You know, if the fire marshal lets you in, who cares?
Yeah. We're also, my understanding is we're also, the boys are going to be cooking up a pig, roasting a pig for range day. Is that still a thing? You know,
that's still a thing. We were working on an idea, guys, and it kind of came up because we were like, how great would it be to not only go out and bust some caps, but also end the day with a giant pig barbecue cookout? So, you know, between bullets and barbecue and boogaloo, like what more do you want in life? Like this is the future of Bitcoin Veterans Range Days. And we've got a little bit of a preview on that. We're gonna do kind of a dry run in the middle of June sometime with the guys from Bitcoin Park. And I'm actually really excited about this. This aspect of Bitcoin Veterans is something that you got to give Alex all the credit in the world for. Alex, I guess, what was a couple of years ago now, started taking people out at the Bitcoin conferences and teaching them pistol. And, you know, what was it? Last year, I was fortunate enough to come out there in RSO with them. Saw, you know, really great range, awesome instruction, and just, you know, professional all the way around. And to take a group of people that don't know each other, get them on a bus, drive them out to the range, instruct them in pistol, and by the end of the day, everybody's swapping, you know, Twitter, Noster, all the handles, all the information. They're talking about things that are so completely, you know, separated from Bitcoin, their niches, what they're excited about, all these things. Like, you want to talk about really building a community. People that can go and have a good time shooting together like this is something that is already started to pull this community together. So for us to be able to do this more and more as a, you know, as an aspect of Bitcoin Veterans, go out and train people on pistol, eventually rifle, and start this program. Alex, you deserve all the credit in the world for getting this going, man. And now that it's growing, it's got to be exciting to see.
Yeah, for sure. So the other thing is that as a bonding thing, like anyone can come to this. You don't have to be a veteran. You don't have to be military. You don't have to be law enforcement. Like, if you've never touched a firearm before, you can come to these things. We have a couple of slots left for the one in Nashville right now. I think there's only a couple of spots left in the beginner group. So like mentioning it this tonight, we're probably not going to have any more. Matt Hill, what's up? Can't tell time. So we're going to do that again. And, you know, one of the coolest things from last year was that, I had this conversation with Surfer Jim. A lot of you guys out there in Bitcoin world know this guy. And like prior to that day, he had a image in his mind about what military guys were like that was not accurate. Like, he thought like everybody who is prior military, you're basically, you guys are just a bunch of violent, you know, apes, you know, you're a bunch of warmongers and you just like violence and all this other kind of stuff. And it's like, he learned that it's like, that's not true at all. You know, a lot of the guys who are in the military are there because they want to protect people, not because they want to hurt people. And it's their nature to do that. But it was really good. So we're doing it again, obviously, in Nashville this year coming up. And it's going to be a great time. We're going out there all day. So contact us at Bitcoin Veterans on Twitter if you want to know more about that.
Hell yeah.
How's that camera working, Matt?
I put him on mute because I think he's getting his setup done.
All right, we'll give him a few minutes.
I mean, I'm not even sure I should stay on. I'm such a piece of shit. I had it in my calendar for 7 o'clock because that's what the ad said, but I'm not on Eastern time. I'm on Mountain time.
Oh, there we go.
So you're early.
Yeah. I'm in traffic. I'm in rush hour traffic on my way home so that I could get ready and do the show.
All right.
I'm such a piece of shit. I'm so sorry.
You know what? You're not. This was like,
I was talking about it earlier today. I'm sorry.
Hey, wait. I think this is what we should do. Matt, we love you to death over here. And, you know, I think this is one of those things where scheduling sometimes, this was bound to happen at one point or another. Please don't stress it. Take a nice, easy drive home. Couple deep breaths, and we'll get this thing rescheduled. We'll get you on here because I got to tell you, and this is going to tease everybody. A couple of weeks ago, I think you were on with Ben Perrin for Bullish on Bitcoin, and you gave one of the best rips I've heard in a long time about the current predicament. I want you to come back on when we have time to talk about all this and really lay it out for people because people need to hear what you said. And it's you know, not to mention everything that you're doing in this space. This, if you're a liberty fighter and you're here kind of from, you know, we all pull from our own camps and Twitter and Noster and everywhere else. If you're one of those people that I've known for a long time that's been into liberty politics and, you know, fighting all this kind of crap from that side, you're going to want to not only hear, but you're going to want to know who Matt is and you're going to know what Matt's doing to make sure that in this world you are a much... You don't matter as much and are safer online because of everything that's going on. So Matt, yeah, man, don't worry about this at all.
That's a very nice intro, but a very bad first impression. So
that's all right.
Now, you're good, man. You're good.
There's a lot of folks who know already who you are and have been really looking forward to hearing from you. I mean, we've got chat groups that we run where the guys are like stewing up all these questions for you because a bunch of these dudes want to either run Start 9 servers or they're already running Start 9 servers. In a bunch of these dudes, the more cerebral of our crew, I mean, they're talking about setting up Fediments and everything and they want to do it on Start 9 servers.
Yep.
So they're very much looking forward to getting you in here.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. Yeah, it's a whole universe of possibilities, and I'm happy to talk extensively about it and answer all your questions. And yeah, so I'll see you, I guess.
We'll do it again. We know how to reach you. We know where to find you.
Randy's going to follow up with you.
Yeah.
All right. We got you, man.
Thanks. And, I'll be out for about a week. I'm headed the Wyoming Sovereign Roundup tomorrow to give a little talk, and then I'm headed to DTC Prague. So if you guys are going to be over in Prague at that conference, I'll see you there.
Nice.
Cool. Safe travels.
Yeah. Have fun in Wyoming, man.
All right. See you guys.
Peace.
All right, Matt.
Dude, there's some cool stuff happening up there in Wyoming too. At the university up there, they've got some really cool things happening. We've got a guy on the inside over there. I'm not going to say who, but there's a guy over there doing some really cool things at the University of Wyoming. And I think we can anticipate some more cool things going on.
Interesting. And Wyoming is kind of leading the charge on a lot of the stuff in on the federal level and at higher levels, right? You got Cynthia Lummis, who's the senator out of Wyoming, and Tyler Lindholm, who used to be, I think, the majority whip out there, who good friend and just a great guy that was advising her for a while. I don't know if he still is or not, but I imagine those guys out there are driving this thing pretty hard. You know, we should try to get Lindholm on the show as well. He's a vet and he's a dynamite guy to hang around with. So
bring it on. Sure. Hey, do you guys mind if I go back and address a question that we had a few minutes ago? What the heck was it? It was basically asking about how things are going with more active duty people learning about.
That's Bitcoin. A great question. I saw that one too. I wanted to bring that up as well.
Yeah, it stood out to me. There you go. Have you guys seen an increase in active duty members understanding Bitcoin? And anybody who wants to share what they've seen, there you go. Thanks. Mm-hmm. In the chat, share what you've seen. But I just want to point something out that we have active duty members in our group right here with us tonight So I think that that's an indicator that yes, we do. And we have a guy, who's active duty, he spun up his own podcast. And he's running it now, and he's in the military at this very moment in time. Not going to go too much into any of those things because, you know, I want to protect their own privacy. And, but we're seeing it. And I can tell you one of the elements that's going, well, first of all, I want to say, I think that it's very important that we have more active duty service members being made aware of Bitcoin. That's part of our mission and our focus and our vision for Operation Bitcoin. But even bigger, I believe that that's something that all of us can have an impact on. We all very likely still have relationships with people and friendships with people that are active duty, that are in the military. We probably have family members, you know, whether direct or indirect, that are currently serving in the military as well. And so you're going to see it happen the same way that it happens in every other type of circle and community. It just comes by us sharing the word. It comes by us, you know, being that Bitcoin person, you know, in our family, in our circles, and sharing it with them. But, you know, the way that it works is, you know, movements like this, energy like this tends to expand, right? It expands and it goes in its waves. And, you know, us being on the tail end, on the, you know, the exit side of the military, still our energy can kind of transfer itself back into that portal, into that world. Okay. So the people that are in there, they're looking, you know, at the other side of the tunnel where we are. And if they start seeing, hey, wait a minute, there's people that are where I'm going to be soon, and this is what they're getting into, they're going to continue generating that interest, and they're going to start asking those questions holistically themselves. But I do see an increase in it. What have you guys seen?
Yeah, I'm sure. So we have, some of you may know, and if you don't know, we've got a bunch of different chat channels that we operate with dudes in there, many of which are veterans. Some of them are first responders. We even have a civilian auxiliary group where, you know, people who are not military, former or active, whatever, can join it if they want to. But we've got a bunch of dudes who are active right now. Yep. And we won't say who they are or what they do, because as Gabe said, we want to respect their privacy. At the same time, some of these guys have security clearances and stuff like that. So, you know, got to be careful about all those things. But yeah, there are a bunch. And I'll give you another example. I just recently spent a weekend at a Bitcoiner's Citadel. This guy is not military, not prior military, but he's one of our guys that's part of our Citadel network. He's got a beautiful 200-acre place with all the things you would want. If you're looking for a Citadel, I mean, this guy has got it figured the hell out. He's got two natural springs on the property producing water. They feed into a roughly 10-acre lake that is full of fish. He's got all kind of deer and turkeys and all kinds of game all over the property. The property is almost fully forested. It sits off of the main road by a good bit. Like, it's just like a dirt road going off into the wilderness when you actually come to like where it's fantastic. Anyway, I had one of these young guys there, active duty guy. And, you know, obviously this one dude who owns the Citadel is already a Bitcoiner. And we spent the whole weekend out on this guy's deck, just like in nature, talking to this young man who's active duty military today. And his mind was blown. And I will tell you, he's been messaging me ever since then. He's talking to all the guys in his command like it's going down, you know. And I'll tell you, he's probably not the only one. There's probably more and more examples of this. I know that there's dudes that are in our groups that when they get around their other active duty guys and they get them cornered, so to speak, for, you know, when you're in the military, you spend a lot of hours together doing things, you know, whatever those things may be. Yeah, you got a lot of time to talk about stuff, you know, so that's happening. And I think it's very exciting to see, especially amongst the younger dudes who are starting to figure this out. And like, you know, these guys will start saying things to you that like are mind blowing. You know, they'll start telling you things about how the monetary system works. And when you got some young dude, you know, under the age of 30, who's like dropping wisdom about how the monetary system works, and he's an enlisted military dude. It's like, that gives me hope for the future. You know, that you guys are figuring it out.
I love it, man. You know, I hear about this from guys coming into Swan all the time. That's an interesting place, right? Because I get to actually talk to guys that are part of this group that are coming in to that going, hey, I need to make my money go further. You know, I can't go down to the classics and get as much booze as I used to get for, you know, the weekend and all that kind of thing. But in all seriousness though, that's where it's affecting the culture the most inside the military, right? Is you've got those, you know, Lance criminals and corporals and sergeants, you know, down there that make no money, and that money is being absolutely vaporized by inflation, and they feel it. Just because, you know, some things are a little bit cheaper on base doesn't mean that, you know, they're spared the car insurance, there's, you know, the car payments, you know, things like that. And these guys are looking for better ways. And what's crazy is, I mean, for anybody that's not part of the military or hasn't been part of the, you know, the lower class of enlisted or officers out there, is word spreads fast. And because you have time, and now they have internet connections, this ability to all get on the mission, like start saying, hey man, let me help you set this up. Let me help you do this. Let me help you secure your 24 seed words. This is how you make a transfer from one to another. Now we can pay each other even in the barracks and sats. Oh, you want to take my duty, man? I'll throw you some sats. They'll never find out, right? As long as things are covered, we're good. And so you start to see how this is working, and man, you want to talk about, you know, something great. I think one of the first times I ever talked to Jordan, Jordan was telling me about this shit that he was doing, where he was going around to different bases and he was dropping, you know, literature from Mises and Rothbard and Hayek and the rest of these great Austrian philosophers, and, you know, The Creature from Jekyll Island, Economics in One Lesson, all these books. He was just leave them in the commons area on tables and let people read them. And then it was Bitcoin. And this is all Jordan from the very beginning. I mean, like, when I was just like, this guy's a fucking fed. You know, he's DMing me. He's watching, you know, Radical back in the day, and he's doing all these things. And so the ability for something to spread now, especially with tight times and things are getting uncomfortable for people, that is the catalyst. Like, you know, the necessity of the mother of invention is necessity, right? So we are getting to that necessity point where people are getting uncomfortable, especially in the lower ranks of the military. And I think that thing's going to absolutely take off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting because there are actually there are several different portals of influence that we have, some access points that we have to people that are internal into the military that we can leverage that don't require existing relationships with people. There's a platform, there's a mentorship platform. I shared it within our own community the other day, where you can sign up to just be a mentor to people who are active duty in the military that are going to be getting out within the next year or so. And so they have it's very popular. And so people, you know, service members get on there, they look for different people that are different types of jobs that they want to talk to and get advice and mentor. What's it called, Gabe? It's called Veterati. Veterati. Yeah, Veterati. But you can hop on there, you know, and you can select like your different skills and the different things that you're good at and your, you know, your job functions. And you can, and one of them is Bitcoin. You can put Bitcoin in there. And so there you go. And service members can get on there. They can look for different specialties that people have, and you put your calendar in, they schedule it. I feel like I'm doing a damn commercial for Veterati. But all right, so we got MyPillow and Veterati tonight. We got to give them a call. So
somebody talk to their managers.
Yeah. So it's just a cool platform, and people can go in and you put your availability. They set it up, and then they, that you get a text on your phone. It says, hey, you have a call scheduled with, you know, so-and-so on Thursday at 2:00. And then your phone rings, you answer it, and it says, hey, this is Veterati. And then on the other line, it's like a party line. Then there's the person that set it up. You have a conversation for about 30 minutes, boom. So, you know, it's pretty effective, because then you have more and more of these guys that are in there that are looking through this at the different profiles. And the more of us that go in there and set up and say, hey, yeah, I'm a veteran and I'm a Bitcoiner and this and that, then they start having these conversations. They start telling their friends who are all on the inside. And again, that's just, it's like you said, you know, those things spread pretty quickly. You know, amongst the E4 mafias, I mean, those guys are going to be talking to each other like wildfire, especially when you look at the rate that people are leaving the military right now and the need that they have for mentorship. It's not only about just orange pilling them in there. It's about providing an actual service to them and helping them to get good mentorship that is based on good advice with a real freaking worldview that's going to be valuable to them and truly set them up for success. So yeah, it's just another window of opportunity for us to go in there and to make some good things happen. I see a lot of fists going up in there, but but I recommend everybody who's in here, just hop on in there. It takes a couple minutes to create a profile. I know a couple of our guys already have, and they've already had some mentoring conversations, but yeah, it works. I just had one today with a guy. So, and he's already in our group, but this, and some of these guys, I mean, they want to get engaged, and that's one of the coolest damn things, you know, and I've said it 100 times, but I mean, veterans are coming out of the military wanting to get plugged into something, you know, especially coming out of this freaking military that we've got right now, where they know that it was a bunch of bullshit and they've got that itch to go out there and to do something that matters. And this is it. And as soon as they realize the impact that Bitcoin is having on the world, I mean, it's just like all of us, you know, we're in and then we're on the mission and it happens. But yeah, get out there and check it out. Tell them I sent you. It's not going to do anything, but might as well tell them Bitcoin Veteran sent you. And, but it's again, it's an opportunity and it's about mentorship. Again, that's what it comes down to, any opportunity that we have to do that. But there are more of us going, and the number of us that are in the country, I mean, it's gone up from 16.5 million and now it's moving up. It just keeps on going up. There's a lot of us running around because we see the news. I mean, people aren't re-enlisting. They're not staying in, and the recruiting command is failing in all branches. So, you know, they keep on
that. I think it's Air Force. They just raised the potential reenlistment bonus to as high as $180,000.
Yeah, that was them. Yeah. It's crazy.
That's hurting.
Did you see Germany? Germany's just in passed the law for conscription again.
Did they?
Oh yeah, man. And it's a big one. Like it's like, oh yeah, we just want this age group. It's like, no, we're going to take as much of the male population as possible.
Wow.
makes you wonder though, right? Makes they're repainting all the armor and all the vehicles to basically green,
which is that where they're at now? We're now in the painting stage of taking every piece of shit that we ever had.
Well, I mean, you know, you think about what it means, right? That means the area of operations is they're expecting it to be woodlands, right? Where's woodlands? There's only, you know, two places I can think of that they might use those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. The South Pacific isn't real great for armor down there. That's for sure.
No.
Yeah. You know, I don't think the German people are going to go along with this. Have you? I mean, most of Europe, I mean, when you see it, especially the farmers, thank God for farmers too. Man, I have so much on my mind about farmers lately, and the respect that I have for all those guys. The fact that you have farmers coming out of the woodwork in all of these European countries going, you guys suck. We're going to just dump loads of literal bullshit at your front door, right? What an amazing statement. We don't have guns, but if we got the next best thing, we've got literally tons of bullshit that we can dump, we can spray, we can shoot, we can fling. With all the devices that they have for spreading the stuff around their fields, and they come in and they absolutely trounce these areas in France and in the UK and Germany and the rest. But I don't think most of the people, I think this is the part where it gets really interesting. It's like, oh, you guys want to go and start this World War III, right? And nobody's going to be down with your conscription. Like nobody's going to, you're going to be in fights in the street. You're going to be trying to pull people off. You see like in Ukraine where they're trying
to
yank guys into fucking vans. You know where that doesn't happen? Fucking here. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yo, man, what a nightmare for you know, all the lizards. Thank God. You know, like that's right now they got to be freaking out a little bit, which is, you know what? Good. I'm glad they're freaking out.
Well, it's about time. You know, this pendulum's been swinging in their direction for a long time. So,
yeah,
it's about time that everybody else, you know, started swinging back the other way. So one more quick topic before we have story time here. Do you guys see the interview yet with Tucker and Bukele?
Yes. Really interesting.
I started watching. Not all of it. I saw the first half hour.
All right. Let me catch your thoughts, Shane. What do you think?
You posted it earlier and I was like, yes, this is fantastic. Made a tweet on it and I said something about, you know, if there's one thing this guy, or he has his first priority figured out, and his first priority is God. He knows he's in a spiritual battle. And I don't know if this is for the cameras. I have no idea, but to say that, and, you know, and to put it first and foremost, well, you know what, maybe he is, maybe he doesn't, I don't know. But if, let's just say he does, I'm a real big fan of this quantum, you know, realm, this quantum mechanics and energy and vibrations and everything else. And when you get somebody who has created peace first and foremost, right? And that was his first assignment. He said, you know, the first thing I have to do is I have to create a area, an environment of peace for my citizens so that they can grow economically. Brilliant. You know, obviously, yes, that is the model. That is where humans flourish, is in peace. But the fact that he's saying this and taking this to his cabinet and his hires and saying, if we do this first, then there's nothing that can beat us. And that was really, really, it hit, because for me, like that's my spiritual life. I'm not religious in the least, but I am deeply spiritual and, you know, came up as a Christian and, you know those stories and everything else. And, you know, the fact that they play into about 16 other major religions around the world, these overlapping understandings of history and theology and mysticism and everything else that's coming together for a guy like Bukele, who was the first person to stand out in a country, the literal savior is the name of the country, to say that and say, I've got my priority, at least my first priority correct. What an astoundingly brave and invigorating type of message to give to somebody, especially Tucker Carlson. You know, to have Tucker Carlson on there, where he's going to be projecting this to Americans and telling them exactly how bad America is at, you know, doing anything these days, where, you know, we built, you know, what the World Trade Center in a year or whatever it was, and it took us 10 years to build, you know, the next World Trade Center, is because everything is epically slow and bureaucratic and there's no will and just awful. And he's like, we could do that down here with a fraction of your resources and a fraction of the people and less time. And it's because this is either structured this way, or you have puppets, or they're people, the people are evil. And just called it like it was. It was a great interview. I'd tell everybody to watch it. And I would tell you, like I tell my own kids, practice your spiritual life. Really start flexing that muscle. If it's atrophied, get into it. Start thinking more positively, thinking about peace, thinking about, you know, unwinding the spring, you know, anything that you really want in this world. There's a massive, massive group that's doing this already. And if you can add that to it, if you can add your energy to it in this fight against good and evil, I think we win. And I think we win with less bloodshed, more peace earlier. And this is something that you have to practice. I mean, in the most terrible of times, you have to practice it. And sometimes maybe it's easier in terrible times, but start practicing this, whether it's in the morning, in the noon, at night, all three of them, whenever. Take that breath and start practicing projecting and asking, you know, the higher powers for things, because I think it absolutely resonates through quantum mechanics scientifically.
All right, then.
Wow. I know. Sorry.
Damn, no, sorry. No need to apologize, man. Okay, so some takeaways that I had from that. By the way, I don't disagree with anything you just said. Like, I think that was, it was stunning to me. Like, I cannot recall an interview with a leader of any country of the world that was that impressive to me. And in my whole life, I can't recall. That was probably the most impressive interview with a world leader that I've ever seen in my lifetime. And impressive because, like, he, and I don't know whether, again, you say if this is just for the camera or what, but he comes across to me as an incredibly humble guy. You know, he's not flamboyant. He's like, basically, he's the opposite of Orange Man. You know, he's super, super humble dude. He's not prone to embellishment. He just seems very straightforward, right? And as you say, the fact that so Tucker's asking him, he's like, how did you do all these things? Because I don't know if people know this, but El Salvador is the country that he's the president of, and like he just got re-inaugurated, I guess, as the president for the next 5 years. There were heads of state from over 110 countries that flew to El Salvador for this to see him become inaugurated as the president. And I get, how many countries are there where that happens? I don't know. And it's just, it's very impressive to see what they've done, because they took this country that was basically a wreck. It's always been in poverty. And it was literally the most violent. It was the murder capital of the world, had more murders than any country in the entire planet. And in a period of basically two years, they completely turned that around. And Tucker was asking him in the interview, he's like, what did you do? How did you do that? And as you said, like there were times where he's explaining how they start this process where they start cleaning up the gangs and they're starting to arrest them. And then the gangs decide they're going to go to war with the government. So like they're getting after it. And there was this period of time where there were all these murders happening. And the way Bukele put it is like, they have essentially 6 million targets, which are all the citizens of El Salvador. They can kill anybody. And it's always the government's loss. Like, you know, if anybody dies, it's on the government's fault. Right. And then the government has to target these 70,000 people. So they have a very limited target list while the gangs have an unlimited target list. And, the gang started fighting back, and he's relating how like there's this one point where they're up at like 3 or 4 in the morning and they're watching this go down in real time. And they're like, what the hell are we going to do? And he literally said, I don't know what we're going to do. Let's pray about it. So can you imagine that in the United States of America, in the war room, in the White House, with all the Secretary of Defense and all of the generals and shit, they just stop and let's pray about it.
Takes you to a different place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, who does that nowadays, and who says that on a show with the reach that Tucker's got? So whether it's for show or not, I don't know, but it's definitely different.
It is.
He used the word miracle.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry. Well, go ahead, Gabe. Say go.
Yeah. No, that's the word that stood out to me the most, is at that moment that you're talking about, Alex, when Tucker asked him, how did you do it? You know, how did you make this happen? He said it was a miracle. And Tucker was kind of like, really? A miracle? And he said, yeah, it was a miracle. And he's like, all right. And then they got into that, how they talk about about the praying and how they all, he said, we pray often. You know, when we have these meetings, when we have these conversations, we're always praying. And look at what they've done, really. They did go from, you know, one of the most dangerous places on the planet, that was not a combat zone by strict military definitions, but people were, you know, especially when you look at per capita, people were getting murdered and the gang population numbers were insane. I thought it was interesting also how he talked about the gang activity there actually originated in America and LA, and then it ended up going on down there. And I was not aware that MS-13 is actually a group of Satanists, which is fascinating. And, you know, when you start to look at things like, you know, like real, true, actual, you know, good versus evil, you know, that's where you get into that. And I know that, you know, everybody can kind of believe what they want to believe and all that stuff, and that's great. But Satan is evil. Okay, I'm just going to say, people that worship Satan, there's nothing good about that. There's nothing positive about doing that sort of thing. And so by any definition, in any way that you're going to look at it, I'm going to go ahead and stand on that hill, and I'm not going to give that one up. People that worship Satan are evil, and they don't want good things for people or the world. And to take that on, especially when it's not just some like your weird freaking people like down the street that, you know, like worship Satan and like kill the guinea pigs in their yard, but you have like armed gang members that will decapitate your family and hang their bodies off of bridges and things like that. And you're going to take on that army. That is truly going after something pretty big. Yeah
70,000 dudes. That is an army.
Yeah. Yeah. That's no damn joke. Yeah, and then to eradicate them from their population and freaking lock them all up, I think it's bold, and I think that it's the kind of thing that if most people understood what actually went into that process of making it happen, they would be completely and totally shocked. But they made it happen, and so when he says things like it was a miracle, you know, maybe it was.
All right, I'm gonna make one last comment here, and then maybe if there's no, you guys can make any other comments you want. Maybe we'll go to story time, but. There was one part where Tucker was genuinely, well, he seemed like he was just baffled. He's like, why do you do that? You know, because Kelly's like, yeah, we pray. And Tucker's like, what do you mean you pray? Why do you do that? Why would you do that? And Bukele's response was kind of like, well, why wouldn't you do that? And it was pretty fascinating, right? Because, Tucker's like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. And like, well, he's like, well, why don't other leaders of other countries do that? And his answer blew me away. He was basically like, well, maybe there are people who have forgotten that they serve the people. And the example that he used was that it's like, if you ask the people, should the leaders of the country pray, right? The people are all, for the most part, are going to say, yeah. You probably should. It's probably a good idea, right? So if that's what the people believe and they've elected these leaders and the leaders are supposed to be representing the people, well, then why don't they do that?
Yeah.
And he kind of asked the question of like, if they're not serving the people, then who are they pandering to by not doing it? And I was like, oh.
Boy, it's funny you say that, because while Tucker was on with Sean Ryan, he talked about this a little bit, right? And he talks about the struggle between good and evil. And it was interesting to see that he was kind of, I guess, a little bit taken aback by the answer, but, you know, kind of the give and take between him and Bukele, you know, where he was saying on Sean Ryan's show that we are literally in a fight in this world for good and evil at this point. And to the point where he doesn't want to know anymore about what's going on and who these dark people are serving, right? Like, it doesn't right. serve him anymore to do that. So like down deep, he knows a lot of things that are going on, and, you know, like whether he's got CIA ties, which I imagine he does, you know, there's something that's shifted. And now that we're talking about this out, you know, out in the open, like we've got Tucker Carlson, we've got Nayib Bukele, we've got, you know, a number of people talking about this good and evil that we are in battle with right now. That if you haven't seen the one with Tucker and Sean Ryan, I'd highly, highly suggest that one as well, because it makes you think. It makes you think, like, you know, hey man, there is a battle that we haven't been talking about because they don't want you to know about the supernatural. They don't want you to address the supernatural. They want to whitewash and do revisionist history over the supernatural, like these stories that are, you know, as old as time, and then even further back, you know, there are, like, I think what, 15, 16 religions that reference the story of Christ and everything that happened in Christ's life before. And so you're putting all this together. I think, you know, now that that's starting to spread, you know, as powerful as Bitcoin is, this side of it, you know, if you start to, you know, merge these two worlds between what we're doing, trying to starve the beast of resources with keeping your own property, having property rights with Bitcoin, and then taking the spiritual side of this and starting to energize people and helping them to understand that, yes, the supernatural is real. And yes, you have superpowers where you can affect this realm. and we need you in the spiritual fight. That's where I think we start to do some really, really amazing work as human beings again. I think that's what the Renaissance was about. I think that's when you see this flourishing in human history throughout different epochs. That's what was happening. You had people on the same page, you know, at the same vibration, begging the universe or their deity for peace, and projecting that, and now in their lives, chasing that as they're starting to think about it. Absolutely an amazing time to be living through.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up. I was actually thinking about this a lot earlier today, in that people have got to, before anybody can get to what you're talking about, people have got to address some basic stuff in their life. There's a lot of people that need to get their house in order, and I'm talking about basic stuff.
Yeah.
All right. The first thing people need to get in order is finances, right? People are out there, they're on the hamster wheel, as I call it. They're running on the hamster wheel, chasing that dollar. Inflation's got them running faster and faster and faster every year. People are working longer hours. People are working harder. There used to be a time where one parent could manage a household. There would be one parent working. They would make enough money to have the household, manage the household. Maybe they even had a lake house and they had a boat or a camper or something like that, right? Then there's no more lake house. Then there's two parents working, and so on and so forth. And it's just this continuous acceleration of trying to chase that dollar, which is basically impossible. It's mathematically impossible to catch the prices of dollars running away. Therefore, you have to have leverage. Best leverage on the planet is Bitcoin, right? So first thing people have to do is get their financial house in order, because if they don't have their financial house in order, they're in survival mode. They're just trying to get by. They have more bills at the end of the month than they have money. And the only way to break out of that is something like Bitcoin, because you will never break out of that exchanging your time for money. Right. So this is basic stuff. If you're a young dude and you're listening to this, trust me on this. This is the only way to do it. Like, you have to create escape velocity. Otherwise, you will be running on that hamster wheel until you die. Straight up.
Yeah. And here's the easy rule, guys. If you're one of those young guys, if you're in the military, you're just getting out, whatever it is, obviously young right now is not easy. Debt is crippling. Whatever you make, spend less than you make. Invest the rest in Bitcoin. It is the easiest thing you could possibly do, because you don't have to be a stock trader. You don't have to be a hedge fund manager. You need to learn how to open a wallet. You need to learn how to, you know, go into an exchange or find somebody who mines this stuff, and then put it on your cold storage and leave it the fuck alone. That's all you got to do.
Create Delta. Spend less than you earn. Earn more, right? There's a saying that there's two paths to wealth. One is to earn more. The other is to spend less. But if you do both at the same time, that's even better. That's right, so do right. that. Right. So that's the financial part, but you have to get the financial part in order to get your physical part in order. What do I mean by that? Well, if you don't have your financial part in order, you're not going to be able to afford proper nutrition. You're not going to be able to afford an environment that affords you to stack the other levels I'm about to talk about. You have to get the financial foundation done. Okay. And then you can buy real food. Then you can, you know, feed your family real food. You can stop eating all the garbage that they're feeding you to put you into a brain fog that's breaking down your bodies. That's making you obese. That's making you need to go to the hospital. That's going to support this sort of feedback loop of getting sick and then feeding the pharmaceutical and the medical complex. And that feeds the food complex and so on and so forth. You have to break that cycle too, but you have to have your financial house in order to break that cycle. Once you've broken that cycle and you've got your nutrition handled, you've got your physical well-being handled, and you have some breathing room, then you can start focusing on your spiritual, emotional part of the equation as well. You got all these dudes that are out there that are in a bad way, spiritually, emotionally, and they're like, how do I tackle this? It's like, you got to create space in your life, guys, in order to do that. And look, talk to us. Like, by the way, you're never alone. All right. Talk to us. If you're in one of those places where it's like, you're not so sure, just reach out, man. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all brothers. We understand what's up.
AC, says, yeah. What's up, AC?
So I'm Torup talking about says,
invest in knowledge. Yeah, absolutely. Good tip for everybody. who's in this crowd out there, there's plenty of books and book clubs you can join unofficially even that are out there within Bitcoin veterans. If you guys need knowledge and you're looking for a place to start, you can hit us up in any of the chat rooms as well. I think that's going to do it for story time, though. I think, you know, sometimes stories are fun, and then sometimes stories are instructional. Sometimes young guys need to hear it from guys that have been there before and done it. So,
yeah. Hell yeah. Alex, you get me fired up, man. You got some good shit, dude. I love it.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I mean, it's passionate, and it's practical, and it's legit. So, yeah, I love it, man. I love it. Hey, you guys might have a drop a plug for the Young Conference real quick before we wrap up.
Please do.
Floor's yours.
Cool. All right. Nashville. If you're coming to Nashville, go to the Young Conference. So there's this thing called the May Premier Bitcoin Education on Conference. This will be the third one that has happened. The first one was in El Salvador, which is where the organization was launched. The second one was in Madeira back at Bitcoin Atlantis time. The third one, which is probably going to be the coolest one ever until the next one, is going to be in Nashville on July 24th. It's at a really cool venue called the Cordell. It's like very Nashville-ish. It's like a historic building. It's got a really cool outdoor area. There's a cool thing about the Young Conference, and that is there's a cap on 150 tickets that are sold for this event. And it's done that way on purpose so that it can be like pure signal, no freaking noise, a lot of good networking going on. I don't want to drop too many big names, but there are people there that are very well known in the Bitcoin space that come to these, and you have opportunities to sit around and just kind of hang with them and talk with them one-on-one. It's really cool stuff. I've met some of the coolest people and had some of the best conversations at these things. So anyway, it's on the 24th. Right now, there is a discount for veterans on tickets. And so we've got there's only 150 tickets total. And the conference has set aside a certain amount just for us to have a discount. If you want to get that discount, then you can DM me and I'll get you hooked up on with that and get you going in the right direction. But it's, it's 12 to 7 on the 24th. Which is like right before the Bitcoin conference is going to be kicking off. So come out and check it out. It's going to be awesome. Where can we put that? I'll put a tag. I'll send it out on the Bitcoin Veterans Twitter handle as well. And we'll put a post on there and come out. It's going to be freaking awesome. I'll be there. There's going to be a handful of us that are going to be there already. The event is actually something a little bit different happening this time. The past two events have always been like strictly hosted by May Premier Bitcoin. This time they asked Bitcoin veterans to come in and to support running this event with them. So it's going to have a little bit of a different feel because the Bitcoin veterans group is going to be involved. And so we're going to be there. We're going to be helping lead the whole thing. Scott Lindberg he's really taken point on running this thing. The man is, he's one highly motivated, organized dude, and he has jumped in and he is leading this bad boy. So he and I are going to be effectively emceeing the event. And so we're going to be in the house, and I'm looking forward to meeting some new people. I know there's a lot of veterans that I've been meeting online and in our chat groups and talking to that I can't wait to meet in person. And this is going to be a really cool way to do that. So check it out. Shoot me a DM if you got any questions. And we'll see you there.
Right on, man. Alex, you got anything to plug? Kind of wrap it up with?
No, I just want to say thanks to the guys, man. Y'all know who you are. Like, y'all make this thing work. We got on, as we've said before, we get on here, we talk about things, we share the message, but all the dudes that are part of EV, they make it go. And I'm just so appreciative of all you guys and proud to be involved with you.
Right on. Yeah, we've got an amazing group of guys here. And I got to tell you, really happy to do this tonight. I know you guys were expecting Matt Hill. Maybe some of you guys are disappointed, or maybe sometimes doing shows like this is just what we needed. I know the three of us can sit here and lay it down for hours and hours. That's probably one of the reasons why we do this anyway. But if it felt good to come in here, have a conversation, get some things out that I think We're pressing on the walls of my small mind anyway, right? Like, I think I need to verbalize some of this stuff once in a while, and having you guys around to bounce things off of and hear it, especially, you know, everybody that shows up and puts it in, really, really appreciate the time, appreciate the effort that's going on behind the scenes. Absolutely incredible. I mean, to the point where we can't keep up with it all. And the fact that this is decentralized, you know, this is a proof of work model. And, you know, the fact that we can do this without having a head, just shows you absolutely the thirst for liberty, the thirst for sovereignty. You guys are making this something really, really powerful. And we are going to be leaning more and more into this in every way possible. We talked to Natalie Smolensky a couple weeks ago. There is some effort to go and do some things to push the veterans side of it, with politicians, at state and local and federal levels. And guys, don't be afraid to lean in. This is something that I've never really leaned into much in the past. You know, I don't go to Applebee's on Veterans Day and say, "Hey, I'm a veteran, feed me for free," and all that bullshit. But this, where we can make strides for, you know, each other, for our legacy out there. This is something that I think we can do without, you know, without feeling like, oh yeah, we're taking advantage of a population and that veteran status. I think this is actually what we need to be leaning into our veteran status with. So don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid, to speak up and speak out, speak loud. You've done some amazing, amazing things for some people that perverted some things. Now it's time to do this liberty side for everybody that, that really counts. You know, if we could have changed our past, we've got a second chance to do it here with Bitcoin veterans and across the board. You guys are absolutely slaying it out there. So hats off to everybody. We thank you for showing up. We're going to be back here next week. You guys know who we have on the show next week by chance off the top of your head? 7 p.m. next Thursday, as usual. It looks like Alex is looking for it right now. I don't know if he is or not, but if not, we will get out of here. Thank you guys for all showing up. We will, we'll be back next week. Till then, peace. Here's the intro for your tour up.